It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with episode 31 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. We got a lot of basketball to talk about, at least for the Lady Leopards, and softball, baseball, all getting kicked off last week, a lot of games going on, and just all kinds of stuff going on with all our teams from the area. But before we do that, we're going to talk about number 31.
Number 31, there's some maybe not the most impressive list as we've had on. Next week's going to be a very impressive list, by the way, 32. But, Jeff had brought this up before we went on the air. Reggie Miller, probably the best basketball player on the list.
Probably got to be the first thing that pops into your mind.
Yeah.
Now, there's some older guys on your list that other people would associate, but.
Yeah, anybody that watched Bob Gibson pitch will debate you that he's maybe the best pitcher ever.
That's what I was just going to
say. Yeah, yeah. My dad, who's not a Cardinals fan by any stretch of the imagination, will tell you that Bob Gibson's the best pitcher ever.
Yeah.
There's another one that could go that might be arguably on that list, Greg Maddux.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
he may be the best I've seen pitch.
He's the best that threw 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Dave Winfield. Underrated, in my opinion.
Very underrated. You know, the thing when I think about Dave Winfield is, for the longest, he was the only star. I mean, the Padres had a few stars, but he was their big star, and he was one of the first guys that kind of moved to the Yankees, and when they started loading up, also on this list is Fergie Jenkins. Ranger fans will be familiar mm-hmm. with Fergie Jenkins.
But he's really known as a Cub.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah.
Beast mode. Marshawn Lynch probably should have a Super Bowl ring and a Super Bowl MVP if somebody knew how to call plays in Seattle.
He's one of those that I think of under a different number. I think of 24.
Yeah.
With Marshawn Lynch.
And then Rodney Harrison.
Where did
one
he
of
play?
The best defensive backs of all time for the Patriots.
Patriots.
I thought he was just a commentator.
No, he was a great defensive back. He was really good.
I'm kidding.
I came up with one off the wall.
I know. I mean,
that some people probably don't even know, but they might know what he's famous for, and that's going to be Sam Bowie.
Sam Bowie,
number 30,
famous for getting hurt.
Famous for being picked right before Michael Jordan.
Number two ahead of Jordan.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, they caught grief over that. Probably still are. Yeah.
He was a great ball player, though. Of course, he played for Kentucky, and living in. Eastern West Virginia, I got to see a lot of the Kentucky Wildcats, and he was a great college basketball player. I mean, at the time, that was a legitimate debate. Nobody was saying, boy, they're going to screw up if they take Sam Bowie.
Yeah.
But hindsight, of course, looks like that's
I done a little
it looks
bit of,
terrible.
I done a little bit of research into that draft just because Sam Bowie popped in my mind, because you always see that number 31 picked ahead of Jordan. You know, the number one pick in that draft, nobody ever complains about him being picked ahead of Jordan. Hakeem Olajuwon.
Mm-hmm.
You know who the number 7 pick in that draft was? My segue into Razorback sports.
That was going to be that year. Scott Hastings.
Alvin Robertson.
Alvin Robinson. He had a great pro career.
Yes, too. He did.
He really did.
Yes, he did.
Great defensive player.
My Razorbacks on this list. They both went to the Final Four. One of them is going to be Huey.
Yep.
Was number 31 on that first team that went to the Final Four. Then on the championship team, you have Roger Crawford.
Yeah, which got the he picture got hurt.
Of him, got the picture of him with the cast.
Yep.
On there, the boot on his leg, and he's sitting on the rim.
Yeah.
After the national championship.
Yeah, he got hurt, and they wore number 31 on their jerseys.
Yeah.
During that run to the national championship back in 94. Anybody else y'all want to talk about?
No, I think we've pretty much covered up 31. Well, 32 will be an interesting discussion next
week.
Yeah,
that'll be.
It might be the whole episode.
We could go a long ways with 32.
Yeah.
There's a lot of 32s. But we'll right now we're going to talk.
Is Cody still planning to come in on 33?
I hope so. I'll talk to him.
Remind him. Yeah, don't forget about that.
Yeah. Could be a fist fight here in the studio.
Yeah.
I'm on his
side. We could sell tickets.
Kind of like
I don't want to scrap the semifinals
of the state championship, right?
Y'all, there was a bit of a dust up.
A little scuffle going on. But anyway, we're going to talk about Leopards right now. We're going to start out with Leopards baseball. Off to a great start, Tony.
Yeah, went down to a very good Dugan Ward tournament and went starts the season 4-0. So, good start for Leopard baseball. I'm going to tell you what, Leopards are going to have, they have an immense amount of pitching. The most pitching that DeQueen has had on any team since I've been in DeQueen, that's 2010. And they'll go as far as that pitching takes them.
And it's really good pitching.
It is.
It really is good pitching. I mean, you got four guys that can get up there and can throw a complete game.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah. And I mean, that Patrician kid, man.
Oh, he's great.
His ball breaks that far.
Yeah.
It is just awesome to sit behind home plate and watch that kid throw a game. They're very different styles. You know, Connor Shelton, some of the same thing, but Connor, he seems to work location. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. And he pitches inside a lot. I love that. I love that you challenge the hitters by, you know, nobody should dig in very, very much on Connor Shelton. You know, you think about Sam Graham. I mean, they've got a lot of pitching.
Yeah, they do. And that doesn't even – you didn't even mention Rowan Sanchez.
That's exactly
which
right.
Which he'll pitch some too. You know, but congratulations to the Leopards for a great start. They, hopefully they'll get to play – they're going to play some this week. Entire Leopard sports schedule has been changed due to something we're just fixing to talk about.
That's right.
And that's the Lady Leopards.
Yeah. And if you haven't heard about this, where have you been?
Yeah, that's right. Lady Leopards 34-1. They're headed to Bank OZK Friday at noon to play the Paw Bruins.
That's right. Yep. 34-1 versus 35-0.
Yeah.
And that will be our DeQueen Motorsports game of the century.
Yeah.
one of the biggest Leopard athletic events, definitely in recent memory, maybe for a long, long time. I probably since I've been here. You go back a lot further than me, of course.
Well, yeah,
a lot.
I sure do. A lot further. But, well, I think, you know, when you look at girls, I mean, we had a softball championship in
17. That was a very good.
Yeah, and I think the only other girls championship that I know of, because it was 2003 when the Lady Leopards won the basketball championship in
right.
Pine Bluff.
Right.
And you know, great team there too. But, you know, I think this Lady Leopard team, you know, we've talked about this before. They're a really good basketball team, great bunch of girls. You know, when you go to a state tournament and you know, you play three games so far. I mean, I know the finals are still there. We mercy ruled every team.
Yeah. I'd asked Jeff earlier if he'd even heard of anything like that. To get up 30 points in all three games of the state tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They end up beating Pottsville 69-45. And a lot of these teams, Greg, and we talked about Warren last week, but a lot of these teams, when we put our subs in and Brett called off the dogs, they left their starters in. And mm-hmm. I just thought, man, if I was a parent of one of those teams, that would aggravate the fire out of me. Yep. But they beat Pottsville 69-45. They routed Clinton 75-40. And with a huge second half, they outscored Mills by 32 in the second half and beat him 84-53.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the thing about Mills was, and we knew that it was going to be a little bit different type of game. Mills probably the most athletic team we faced all year.
Definitely
long.
The quickest.
Yeah. And they played really well in the first half, had a 1-point lead at halftime.
Yeah. They played a little over their heads. They shot the ball really well. Yeah. And I think we weaned them in a little tired, you know, but, man, second, I don't know what Brett did in the locker room at halftime, but we came out on fire, scored the first 14 points of the second half.
That's right.
It was really never a ball game after
that. No, it wasn't. And I mean, just, you know, just destroyed them in the second half. That's the only words you can say.
Right.
You know, and great looking for, you know, we both watched PA play a couple of times. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that a formidable opponent, obviously, for their 35-0. I mean, you know, you don't get to be that without having a really good basketball team.
And, you know, the thing is, with two teams that have played 35 ball games, you would think there'd be more common opponents. There's really not a bunch of common opponents.
No.
Mills is one of those common opponents. They beat Mills by three. But what I saw in Mills, I could see Mills hanging around with anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, you get to the Final Four, you're a pretty good basketball team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. And I mean, we just, you know, that's the thing about, you know, I was talking to Jeff off the air, and I, you know, my thought about the Lady Leopards is, I mean, especially against that Mills team, it was like a tale of two halves. If we play like we played the first half, not good.
Yeah.
We play like we played the second half, don't know that anybody can stay with us.
Right.
And we talked about this with shooting percentage. We shot basically 60% in the second half. I mean,
this just in, that's pretty good.
Yeah. and that was, you know, that includes playing everybody on the bench.
Yeah.
For the last 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and so I don't even know if we scored. Yeah, we did, because Carly Bush scored.
Yeah,
and
sure did.
She did. But I mean, you know, that there wasn't a lot of scoring going on that last 2 or 3 minutes. So, you know, here's the deal is, when you get to where we're at, when I say we, I'm talking about the Lady Leopards, you know, and I'm planning on getting one of those rings. So, you know, when the Lady Leopards get to where they're at, it's not going to be easy. There's going to be some ups and downs in this game, how they manage those. And I can just see, you know, that's where Jesse and Shaylin and the experience that they've had is going to play a major role, because they have been in the finals, I believe.
Well, I think they won one time.
I
think when they were freshmen, they were on that team for Nashville that won the state championship.
Then they'd lost the next year.
That's right. So they've been to – this will be their third trip to Bank OZK.
That's right. That's right. And I think their experience and helping the other kids are just going to be – you know, that's going to be a tremendous advantage, I believe.
Yes.
And so, you know, you look at this game, it's a final game. And it is a final game. It's going to be a close game.
I'm ready to move on to baseball, softball, but I'm a little sad. Uh-huh. I mean, I just appreciate Brett and these ladies so much that we've been able to be a part of it. You know, a little bitty part.
Yeah.
But I went through that sadness last week.
Yeah.
One of PA's closest games this year was against that West Side team that defeated the Lady Outlaws earlier in the year, and that team's in the finals of the Class 1A.
Right. I noticed that as well.
Yep.
Plan on watching that Thursday.
Yep. And so, you know, anything else you wanted to say about that, Tony?
No, but, okay. Man, we're limited on time. You can't say enough.
No.
It's been a great ride.
Yeah, it really has, whatever. Thank you, Lady Leopards.
Absolutely. Win or lose Friday.
It's just been a great ride, and we're going to talk about a big win next week.
Yep.
But that, just to mention one more time, that game's going to be the Queen Motorsports Game of the Century. we appreciate the Queen Motorsports for sponsoring the Game of the Week all year long. And we also got one more thing to do before we move on. The Shelter Insurance Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week, Tony.
Going to be Jesse Lyle, but stay tuned, because that may not be the last Lady Leopard you hear on this podcast.
Yeah, surely not. I mean, and you know, just great effort by all of them. And you know,
I'll tell you what, they put on a show in Monticello. They put on another show in Magnolia. There were people showing up at that gym just to see them shoot the basketball.
That's right.
I mean, it was incredible.
Yep, it really was. And so that pretty much wraps it up for the Leopards. Now we're going to move on.
I do want to remind everybody about DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. DeQueen Animal Hospital, 1690 Highway 70 West here in DeQueen, and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown. Check them out on Facebook, DeQueen Animal Hospital / Ashdown Veterinary Clinic on Facebook, and give them a like and a follow. It's one way to support a business without having to spend a single dime. You're on Facebook anyway. Come on, I know you are. Give them a review. If you've used them in the past, leave a review and make it glowing. The rest of these five-star reviews across the board. You know, it's an amazing place. Everybody feels very comfortable around here, dropping their pets off. They are the premier veterinary services in Southwest Arkansas, and they have the whole area covered between here and Ashdown, here as in DeQueen, if you're living in Ashdown. Ashdown and DeQueen.
That's right.
Yeah, we
Southwest Arkansas.
I love it. Yep. Southwest Arkansas as a whole, and we're very, very lucky, to have such great veterinary services right at our doorsteps here. So we appreciate them. They've sponsored the podcast for forever, since its inception.
That's right.
And they're a great, great business, great community members, and love having that quick access, high quality veterinary service at my fingertips.
Couldn't be better. Great service, great people, great care for your animals. What more can you ask for?
I could ask for Jim Cross.
Jim, good to hear from you this week. How's baseball and softball going?
Well, baseball, we lost a heartbreaker to Nashville 6-5, a walk-off single, the bottom of the seventh with two outs. But it was a well-played game by both teams. Good pitching, timely hitting. Missed a couple opportunities early to maybe put the game away. But in talking to Coach O'Bannon, you know, he was pleased with the effort. He said everything was fixable. You know, the kids were disappointed because they always wanted to beat Nashville. And like he told him, he said, you don't pass out any trophies in March for baseball. So, you know, you just keep playing. And they came back and beat a good Lone Oak team in the Dugan Ward tournament this weekend, and also beat Taylor. So they're back on a winning streak and playing well. Gunnar Altenbaumer's hit the ball really well for the Panthers, the cleanup hitter. And, of course, Walt Jones, the Razorback commit, he's playing fantastic as well. And the Panther baseball team looks like things are going their way.
Sounds good to me. What do you think after looking at them in the tournament? And I know that tournament's a big tournament, lots of teams, good teams there. And they did well in that, so that speaks well of them. But coming into this next week, what are you looking at?
Well, I think, and I visited with Coach O'Bannon yesterday, just looking for improvement, just to get a little bit better each week. And you know, they're still Wood Walton got back in the lineup in the tournament, so that made a big difference. He solidifies his center field position. And then you can move Riley Williamson over to left and Mason Washington right. And, you've got a top-notch outfield that can really go get it. And so having Wood in the lineup has certainly added to it. And then with Walt Jones and Cutter Dollarhide up the middle, it's short in second base. Cutter's going to SAU Tech. And, of course, Walt's going to Fayetteville. And so, you know, you're very solid, you know, very solid up front in the middle. And the pitching, you know, the pitching, we just need to throw more strikes. And that happens early, guys. You know, you walk a few more guys and you want to walk. And that's what got us against Nashville. But Jared Baker's thrown the ball real well. And Walt Jones has thrown well. And Gunnar Altenbaumer as well has thrown well. And Kyler Jones is coming off an injury. He was our number two pitcher last year. And so once we get him kind of back in the groove, I think our pitching will be probably one of our strengths.
Well, I mean, that all sounds really good to me. Sounds like the Panthers are primed to have a really good season in baseball this year.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest, guys. I think the expectations are really high, and you know, anytime you've got a couple of college guys on your team, yeah, your expectations are high. And this team over the years has been very successful. They've gone to the state finals a couple of times or earlier in their career, so they. So I think they're looking, they're looking for a conference title and a state championship run.
You know, Jim, I think that Ashdown's got that tradition, and I know that they were disappointed with the way last year went. They were in a very good baseball conference, and probably in any other conference in the state, they would have been there. And but it sounds like they're primed to go.
Yeah, it's so good. And you know, Coach O'Bannon is doing a fantastic job with them, and the kids are relating to him very well. And I've noticed that they're a little bit more aggressive on the base pass this year,
mm-hmm.
and so they're gonna run, hit and run a little bit more. And so he's going to take advantage of some of the speed that we have. And like in the Nashville game, we stole a couple of bases and we got thrown out once. So, I mean, yeah, he's going to live and die by that, which I like that aggressive style.
Well, yeah, and you know, they say that, and this is professional baseball, but they don't steal bases anymore in professional baseball. But they used to say that if you can swipe 70% of the time, it's worth the risk. You know, and
yes.
and even the very best catchers only throw about 30% of base runners. So, I don't understand why teams don't run more, to be honest. Make the other team make a play.
Yeah. We've kind of fallen in love with the long ball.
That's right.
Yeah, and I just think that there's something to moving guys over, taking the extra base, hit and run. And, you know, those kind of things. And I think Coach O'Bannon's a big believer in that.
Am I correct to assume that the softball team hasn't started yet, right?
Yes, they played. I broadcast the game. Let's see, when was it? Friday, and they played Columbia Christian, which is a good school out of Magnolia. And to be honest, Columbia Christian put it to us pretty easily. And then they played in they had a little tournament this weekend. They were able to get one game in and lost to Arkansas High. But guys, I'm gonna be just perfectly blunt with you. They lost 7 starters from last year,
yeah.
And then the Kenya Williams, your best player returning, she's on a track scholarship from SAU, so she's concentrating on track, which makes perfectly good sense.
Yeah.
So she's not with us. And then two or three other girls that were kind of in the rotation last year, who you planned on coming back, they didn't play this year. And so you've only got one girl on the team that played any varsity at all, and Stormy Ward, our pitcher. And then the rest of the girls played JV.
So the Panthers are in rebuild mode.
Yeah. It's going to, you know, we're used to having, you know, great speed and all these kind of things. And, you know, Stormy Ward's a good pitcher.
Yeah.
But you got to have, I'm not speaking down to anybody, I'm just speaking, we're very young. I think we're all 9th and 10th graders. And coach,
it's hard to strike out 21. You got to have some defensive outs in the field and some things like that. You're right.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's going to be a tough season for him. But Coach Prince, he's, you know, he's got the right attitude. Hey, we're going to get better each week. We're going to play hard. We're going to have fun. And we'll let the wins take care of the wins. And if we keep with it, maybe next year or the next year, you know, things start looking up. So I think everybody's pretty realistic about what we got going, and you can't put a price tag on experience either. I mean, to have basically no varsity experience, you know, that's kind of hard.
It is, but it bodes well for the future.
Yeah, it does. And you know, I talked to all the girls after the game. They were a little disappointed, and told them how much we appreciate them, and because, you know, that's when you show true character, is when things aren't going good, that you know you stay with the team. And
well, and it's
teammate.
Easy to pat young people on the back when they're winning and things are rolling, but they need those pats on the back more when things aren't going well. And I think sometimes people fail to recognize that.
Yes, but I will say Allison Gore, our shortstop, I think she's got a chance to be a good player with just some more repetition. She hit a double in the gap, and I thought, boy, she's got a good swing. And it's just going to take repetition and confidence for her to be more consistent. But she's probably the best player on the field that we have. And, you know, I think as a 10th grader, you know, she's got a chance to be, you know, be a very good player in the future.
Yeah. Well, brother, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Greg.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Have you thought about this Domtar Panther Player of the Week?
Well, I tell you, I'm going to give it to Gunnar Altenbaumer.
That's a good choice.
Yeah. The game I did, he was 2 for 2 with a double, an RBI, and 2 walks, and played third base. And he's hit the ball in the other games as well. And he's a senior, and he's pitched also well. So we'll give it to Gunnar Altenbaumer.
Awesome.
Sounds great.
Congratulations, Gunner.
Yep. Dom Tar Panther Player of the Week, Gunner Altenbaumer. Jim, you got anything else for us before we let you go?
Well, I think this week will tell us a little bit. Malvern's usually pretty good, and Jefferson's usually pretty good out of Texas. So we'll see how the boys, wrap, match up against those guys. And so they moved the game from Friday to Thursday because of weather concerns, because they wanted to be sure to get that Malvern game in. So we'll know a little bit more next week about the boys and the girls. They're just going to get better each week, and we're going to salute them and appreciate them. Here's my prediction. They're going to fool around and win a couple games.
There you go. That sounds great, Jim. We appreciate you calling in and telling us about the Panthers every week and just everything you do down in Ashdown in that community. We appreciate
I appreciate you guys too, and lifting up our kids here. And I know the parents and the grandparents especially appreciate it.
Well, I hope they're listening to us. We appreciate them. And that's what we're doing it for. And we appreciate your help with that.
Yes, sir.
Hope we get to talk to you soon.
Sounds great. Have a good day, guys.
You too, Jim.
Bye, Jim.
Bye.
And we're going to talk to Jeff Tuttle now about the Outlaws and the Lady Outlaws and what he's got for us. And just getting started, Jeff.
Yeah, not a whole lot of action so far, for the Outlaws or the Lady Outlaws. They both have one game under their belt. They both took on Mineral Springs Hornets last week. The Outlaws were defeated by the Hornets. I was unable to go to that game. I'm not even positive of the score. I think the Outlaws led.
Did you do something else?
I went to the Lady Outlaw game.
I'm just kidding you.
Well, I mean, they played the same team at different locations.
Right.
We don't see that a whole lot, but, and just talking to Coach Ernest, he said, he mentioned Peyton Beckman had a good game for them. He was, like I say, I don't have stats or numbers, but he said Beckman had a good game. And I know I'm going to overlook somebody just trying to run down some players. So forgive me for that, but we'll get them in the future. But, the Outlaws return several starters. Beckman, Danny Deer, Colton Gadberry, Jordan Hill, Ben Ernest, Kersey. Trying to think. I'm sure there's a few more that I'm just – and like I say, we'll get them.
Yeah, we got a little bit of time on baseball season.
Yeah, Godwin. Right? Godwin returns for him. He's sophomore this year. But the Outlaws have a busy week this week as they're going to have – they'll take on Cutter Morning Star yesterday. There we go with that time travel again. Mount Ida on Thursday.
We need to get that music to play.
Spring Hill on Friday of this week for the Outlaws. So they got a busy week, and we'll know a lot more about them and how their pitching lines up and everything next week, because you're going to have to get into the rotation if you got three games this week.
That's right.
As far as the Lady Outlaws, they also were defeated by the Lady Hornets at home last week, and it was a high-scoring game. At one time, they were about to mercy rule the Lady Outlaws. The Lady Outlaws scored some runs, kept it going, but they just didn't quite have enough in them for the comeback. Coach Owens mentioned Kylie Bray, a freshman, I believe. She went 2-4 with a single, double, RBI. And that's the only player he really mentioned standing out for them. But, they're a young team. As far as I could tell, and like I say, I watched it from a distance. I think they returned three starters. Pitcher Chris Eisenhower, Do Everything, Riley Simmons, and Aspen Pugh, I believe are the only returning starters. And they have several freshmen on that team that are going to contribute. So
they make you sit in the outfield. They won't let you sit with everybody else.
Yeah, they wouldn't let me in the gate the other day. So.
Okay.
Concession stand wasn't open, so I didn't.
It didn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't matter to me. I watched from the convenience store. But, yeah, they're going to be a fun team to watch. They're going to have a lot of growing pains with the youth that they have, but I mean, that only helps you in the future,
sure.
Building a program. So they play DeQueen Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that may be their only game this week.
Okay.
Real quick, I'll mention track and field. We had junior high kids doing great things at the – was it the Cub relays? Is that what they had last week? You know, they had a good showing. The senior high went to Prescott. This week they both go to Cattle Hills.
Yeah.
So track meets there. And like I say, not a whole lot of outlaw news, but I'm going to go with our outlaw players of the week.
It'd be the Todd Moore Shelter Insurance Outlaw Player of the Week.
Thank you, Jeff. While I was doing a little research here.
Yeah.
And we're going to throw it back to basketball season because we're going to have a lot of opportunities for this baseball and softball. We're going to have more numbers on them in the future weeks. But we had some honors bestowed upon some Lady Outlaws last week, and we're going to go with five girls as our Todd Moore Shelter Insurance Outlaw Player of the Week. All conference. Sophomore Rayleigh Walston and senior Hannah Kirby. And then All-State and All-Conference, junior Riley Simmons and freshman Miley Harrison and Addison Hill. They received All-State and All-Conference, those three. And, I mean, that's quite a feat for some freshmen. It's quite a feat for anybody, so congratulations to all five of those. But
yeah, congratulations to all those Lady Outlaws on being the Todd Moore Shelter Insurance Outlaw Player of the Week. Anything else, Jeff?
Booster Club Golf Tournament.
Okay.
April 19th. Mm-hmm. I just want to throw that out there. If you got a three people, it doesn't have to be a three-man, three-person scramble. Get you a team, or if you know somebody wanting a sponsor, tell them to send us some money.
Or you can just send them some money, not golf, right?
That's right. You can send us money and not sponsor even.
Yeah. As long as you get the money, right?
That's right.
Well, and just to speak from personal experience, a great tournament. They do it right. If you want to have a good time, that's the place to go. It's a great time, and door prizes out the wazoo. I'm the only one that didn't win a door prize last year.
I don't think I did either. Well, if you want to win the tournament, you better get some ringers.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be some golfers there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to fill out your scorecard before Jeff does.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 18 under won't do it.
Can we cheat?
Are we golfing? You're not golfing if you're not cheating.
That's right. That's true.
I had a buddy used to say, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
That's right. Not trying hard.
I think that's probably the line I was looking for.
don't forget about that. The Outlaw, is it the Outlaw Golf Term? Is that it? Is that the name of it? What's the name of it?
Booster Club.
Outlaw Booster Club Outlaw Golf Booster Tournament. Club. It's at
Third annual.
Yeah, Glenwood Country Club. It's for a great cause. It's a great time. It's on Saturday, April 19th. You better sign up because it'll fill up fast.
Yeah, it's our biggest money maker, so, you know, we like to get it out there. And like you say, we like for everybody to have a good time.
Yeah. Sounds good. Anything else?
That's all I've got. I've taken up enough of your time, Greg.
No, hey, no problem. We got lots of other stuff to do, but we got plenty of time too. All right, so we're going to move on, and we're going to move on to the Horatio Lions and Lion baseball, 0-5 this year. I mean, this week, a lot of games, but a tough week for the Lions. A
couple of close losses too, 4-2 to Waldron, 12-11 to Falcon, 8 in extra innings. So. I mean, you know, obviously a tough week for Horatio baseball. It's a week Horatio baseball's not used to. Horatio baseball's usually beating people. They usually have in 5-0 weeks, not 0-5 weeks. But I'm sure they'll get the get it turned around.
Well, and you know, this week they got another five games to play.
I know.
They got Prescott, Mountain Pine, Columbia Christian, Foreman, and Dale, Oklahoma. I don't even know where Dale, Oklahoma is. Do you?
I know. Dale from King of the Hill, but I don't know where Dale comes.
Well, I didn't know if you knew. I know Chip and Dale, but and I said
former employer.
Yeah, that's Chip.
And you can't
and
say
Dale.
Wife beater.
That's Chip and Dale.
Oh, you're talking about the
chipmunks.
Yeah, the chipmunks.
Yeah, the chipmunks.
Sure you are.
Yeah. Not the.
I thought you were talking about where you used to work at.
No, no.
I can't hear those words and not think of Chris Farley.
I know. That's what I was thinking of, too. That's what I was thinking of, too. But Lions baseball just getting started. Tough week, but I'm sure they're going to improve on that. Lady Lions softball went 2-2 last week. And one of their wins was against Arkadelphia, Tony, 19-2.
Yeah,
big win for them there. They had a couple of really great performances. I'm going to mention Paige Williamson. She pitched 17 strikeouts in four games. But our Horatio State Bank Lion Player of the Week is going to be Haley Lyon, a freshman. She was 7-14. Two doubles, two triples, and five RBIs in those four games.
That's a pretty good week.
That's a pretty good week for anybody. And as a freshman, your first year in high school softball, that's really great.
Yeah.
And
I got seven hits in a month once.
I don't think I've gotten seven hits yet. So, and that was underhanded. That wasn't fast pitch. So looking forward to hearing more from the Horatio Lady Lions as they move forward. I think they're going to be, they just got those group of young girls that are for the next three or four years in all sports are going to be really good. And so looking forward to hearing from that. Gators, Foreman Gators, as we move on, the Foreman Gators 1-2 last week. Lady Gators 1-1. One of the Lady Gators, win was against Ashdown,
right.
12-0, Tony. So
yep.
Big win for them there. And Mallory Abercrombie doing a good job pitching for the Lady.
We'll talk about her all spring.
That's right. That's right. But for our Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week this week, we're going to go with Braden Roberts. You got his stats, Tony?
Braden Rhodes, isn't it?
Rhodes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Braden Rhodes.
Said the wrong thing.
He had a walk-off hit on in Friday's win and had a good week overall. So we're going to go with Braden. Congratulations, young man.
So congratulations to Braden Rhodes on being the Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week. And we move on.
The Eagles. The Cozatot River Eagles baseball goes 1-1 on the week. Lady Eagles softball goes 1-1 on the week. Cozatot, I really expect them to have a good year in baseball. As evidenced in basketball, they have a really good crop of senior boys, and some of those young men are playing baseball. I think they're going to have a good year this year. And they got their win this week against Foreman. So
does Coach Barrett coach that too?
No. He's good about keeping me in the loop, but I think that he's taking the spring off.
Okay, he deserves it.
I'm telling you,
well
man.
Deserved.
Well, he's already pumped up about football.
Yeah.
I'm on their Facebook page, and he's already, their uniforms are awesome. I love that black and white look. Already got kids working out, lifting. I'm telling you, Cozatot.
You know what he's more pumped up about that pumps me up?
What's that?
FCA.
Yeah, he is. That's for sure. He is for sure.
So, I'm sorry I interrupted your.
That's okay.
Your Cozatot rundown.
That's all right. Our Union Bank of MENA Eagle Player of the Week is going to be Connor McCormick. He had 9 strikeouts versus the Foreman Gators last week.
Okay. I think that pretty much covers the high school, unless y'all got something else. There is one thing I want to mention real quickly. I don't know if you're aware, Tony, you may be aware of this, but, they've changed the way they schedule teams, at least in the conference that the Leopards and Lady Leopards are in.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I like it yet or not. You asked me at the end of the year.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah.
But so what they do is every week you're going to play the same team twice.
Right. Holman Road.
Yeah. And that the reason why they're doing that is baseball, because they say baseball, that way you can't use your stud pitcher against them twice. You can only use them once.
That's kind of an advantage.
Well,
to be able to do that in the season if you need to.
Well, but they're taking that advantage away. So, you know, if you've got one good pitcher and you're in a battle against a team, you can use them one time.
Right.
Or you can limit them, and, you know, you can do whatever. You can still use the pitch count the way you can, but you're not going to be able to go.
You're not going to throw him seven innings
and bring
him back.
Well, right. And I understand that, too. If you've got when you've got a number of teams and some of them are of lesser quality, you know, if one team's playing two relatively good teams in a week and one team's playing one that's, you know, let's just say they're – hadn't won a game, and the other team's one that you're battling for first or second place with, you know, you've got issues there. You know, if you're playing the team that's in third place and you're battling for second place versus the last place team.
Right.
Because you don't go all out against them, they may beat you. And you know, and so
it is more of a balanced schedule. I'll say that. From a pure radio standpoint, I'll tell you what is encouraged Greg and I to do, and I usually take care of the scheduling on the spring sports, is I'm going to do baseball at home and softball on the road, because the length of games and, you know, getting a little bit earlier start on a lot of softball games, and that's the way it's affected me, and I'm just anxious to see how I feel about it at the end of the year.
I don't like it, and I'll tell you why. From a fan standpoint, is the way it has been. If y'all and whoever the next best team is in y'all's conference, you throw your aces 1 week and you come down 3 weeks later and y'all are still 1-2, you know, people get to see those two kids pitch and duke it out again. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're doing it in the same week, and I mean, who knows what's going to happen down the road.
It puts a priority on pitching depth is what it does.
Yeah.
Because instead of, and we'll do just a, and I, you know, there's not been enough games played to know who the strong and weak teams in our conference is. But let's say it's the Queen in Nashville.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be probably a 1-on-1 matchup and then a 2-on-2 matchup in the same week. So depth is important. Your bullpen is going to be important in that week. You know, there'll be some teams in your conference you can throw your two against and they'll be as dominant as your one.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know how I feel about it yet. I'm going to have to go through one spring with it to be able to and give an honest assessment, I think.
Yeah. Well, my deal is
– I'd be interested to hear how Chad feels about it, because it really doesn't affect girls' softball. Same girl pitches every game for the most part.
I don't think he likes it. I've talked to him a little bit about it, but
okay.
Not a lot. And he said it was basically done for baseball.
Right.
While I understand it, it doesn't allow for improvement either. If one team gets better and the other team gets worse during the year, which happens, you don't really have the opportunity to take advantage of that if you're the team that's getting better. But anyway, I just wanted to bring
that's a good point.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring it up to just, you know, see what y'all's thoughts about it was. That's probably enough talk about that. We'll talk about it more as we go through the season, I'm sure. We got a little bit of cleanup work to do. We're going to talk about first our Toad Thumper girls player of the area, and that's going to be Emma Chambers.
Yeah, in the first half against Mills, we were struggling, and Mills had a lot to do with that. To give the lady Comets, I called them Rockets several times during the broadcast, but they're Comets.
Yeah,
credit, but Emma, she either scored the first 12 points of the game or 10 of the first 12 points of the game and really kept us in the ball game in the first half.
Yeah, she was scoring with them.
Yeah, she was.
And she's the only reason we were with them at the end of that game. And congratulations. I mean, great tournament all the way around.
Absolutely.
But especially in that game, and had 21 points and just a great job there. When you look at the Horatio State Bank Boys Player of the Area, we're going to go with Eli Long of the former Gators there, Tony, and you got his stats?
I do. He pitched 6 shutout innings and hit .444 for the week, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think he's a freshman.
He is a freshman. And congratulations to him, Eli Long, the Horatio State Bank Boys Player of the Area.
And he plays for Horatio. Is that correct?
No, plays for Foreman.
Foreman, I'm sorry. Sorry, Eli.
He plays for Foreman. So congratulations to Eli for being the Horatio State Bank Boys Player of the Area. And we go to, finally, our Adderose Designs. Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air overall player of the area for this week, and that is going to be
Shaylen Lyle.
That, and Shaylen Lyle, just an amazing basketball player. Did great. We looked at the stats for the play.
And this, I'm going to tell you what, we really try to take this very seriously. Greg has this stat program that just takes the regional stats and just takes the state stats and just takes the postseason stats. And I got to be honest with you, you could make an argument for any of our starting five. You really could, mm-hmm. you know, depending on what you're emphasizing. But, you know, it's hard, Greg.
Well, it is hard, but, I mean, when you look at Shaylen Lyle, I mean, she leads us in scoring. She leads us in assists. She leads us in steals. She's the leader.
Yeah, she is.
And just a great, great all-around player. For her efforts just during the state tournament, she's going to be the Attarose Design Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air Player of the Area.
Yeah, we'll talk about UA Cossetot before we get into national stuff.
Yeah.
UA Cossetot, www.cccua.edu. For all you Colts fans out there, uacossetotcolts.com, a fantastic website with everything that you need to know about the Colts. Talking about some of their programs of study that they have offered, teaching and arts. You can mm-hmm. teach arts, I bet. Mm-hmm. Teaching arts, general studies, criminal justice, K-6 education, middle school education, psychology, STEM, ag business, ag education, ag science, applied science, business, natural resources, auto and diesel service tech.
We're going to be here all day.
I know it. The list goes on and on and on. Criminal justice. So, especially if you're a youngin'. I was listening to Bob Marley over the weekend. If you're in high school right now and, you know, still thinking about it, they offer college level courses that high school students can take even before graduating with their high school diploma. Some of these kids are graduating with 2 years under their belt already, got their associate's degree or whatever it is. So really, really fantastic. UA Cossetot does so much for the community. Their adult education, GED prep, and more for people like Greg. We got to talk to Steve again, but is it true? Was it if you're over 65? This is free to you.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you get to that age, you know, and you might be like, yeah, you know what? I kind of always wanted to, you know, just take a criminal justice class.
Yeah. Free.
Free. That's absolutely incredible.
Yeah. You want to go take English?
Yeah.
Free.
Free.
Don't know why anybody would, but.
Yeah.
But I took enough English. But anyway, all the classes are free. But you got to remember, mm-hmm. now there are some fees associated, especially with like welding, because sure. they give you supplies that you yep. use and stuff like that. So different courses there do have some fees, but the yeah. actual course itself, no cost.
That's right. Actual course itself, no cost. And you can find out exactly how much you might have to pay or not pay at all by going to www.cccua.edu. Big shout out. Thank you so much, UA Cossetot, for sponsoring the program.
Yeah, we appreciate them so much.
Yeah.
And now we continue with the program.
Yes.
Now we're going to move on and we're going to talk about a couple other things. I mean, I think that we talk about Arkansas basketball. Big win Saturday, up by 16, ended up win by one.
Arkansas basketball has a case of the hiccups.
Yeah.
Hiccup they're in, hiccup they're out. Hiccup they're in, hiccup they're out.
Yeah. They got to play South Carolina the first game in the SEC.
If they're all motivated to do that, they don't deserve to make the NCAA tournament.
If they don't win that game, I don't think they're in.
Yeah.
They got them in as a play-in team now.
Right.
One of the teams that got to play on Tuesday.
CBS and ESPN has them as one of the last four in, mm-hmm. which will put you in a play-in game.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, what's interesting, the projected tournament seedings I saw, you know who their opponent would be?
It's Arkansas just, State?
No.
UNC.
UNC. North Carolina.
Oh, who's
I said USC because of Munch.
No, who was
UNC.
Who was I mean,
that's crazy.
I think they're lower on the bubble than Arkansas. Yeah,
that's who they had in there. Yeah. UNC versus Arkansas.
But they had to be one of those teams that make other teams nervous.
Oh yeah.
Because I mean, if they're on, they're on.
Yeah.
But it's hard to do it for 40 minutes. It seems like.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of that, real quick, while you're on the NCAA tournament, Arkansas State women's team,
yeah,
won their tournament and beat James Madison, I believe.
Yep.
And made the NCAA tournament for the first time ever.
Yep.
They did.
Yeah, Arkansas State's girls and boys both really good. Arkansas State ended up knocking Marshall out of the Sun Belt tournament after Marshall had beat him during the season. And Greg, he got to watch a lot of it. We were driving home from Magnolia. I got to hear his commentary on it. And Hurd had their chances, had a chance at 2 3-pointers in the last 15 seconds or so. But
they did.
Congratulations to the Red Wolves and their fans. You got us.
But they also lost last night in the finals.
Yeah, and the Sun Belt's usually a one bid conference.
Right.
They're probably NIT bound.
Troy got the automatic bid for the men. So
yeah. Yep, so that's probably what that is. But
if Marshall's anything, they're probably pay to play bound.
Yeah. Well, so anything else y'all want to talk about that this week, or you want to wait till after they pick them next week?
Well, next week we'll be all over the NCAA basketball tournament.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. We'll be picking, looking at Arkansas baseball.
I think I won that last year.
You do?
I do.
You, I think
out
I won
of us?
It.
No.
Yeah.
I think I won it.
Well, I think I won it.
No,
Tyler, what about you?
Tyler thinks he won it. I'll go back and find out for sure.
Nah, I'm just kidding. I know I didn't win. I hadn't won anything since we've been here.
Because I picked the champion.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Well, we'll pick them again next week, right?
We will. And it'll mean nothing that I won last year.
Nope.
I know that feeling.
It only means something when you lose, Tuttle. It means you got to buy.
I got to buy, and I still can't get y'all all to go out and eat with me.
So, looking at Arkansas baseball, it looks like they're doing pretty well.
Chicks dig the long ball, Greg.
Yeah, I know.
And they're hitting them.
Yeah, they are. They are hitting them all over the place. Yeah.
You find that humorous?
It's true. Yeah, it's true.
I wouldn't know.
That's why I never could get a date. I mean, they are knocking home runs like the ball's been juiced like Jose Canseco.
Yeah.
I mean, the way they're hitting balls. It's not even warm yet. I mean, it's still cold. But Aloy, he's crazy, isn't he?
Which one?
Well, the one that plays shortstop. I don't know their first names.
Me either, but his brother's,
I know,
like leading the nation in batting average.
I know it. I know it. They're really good. They're going to be a good.
Where do we find those kids?
Hawaii. if you got enough NIL money, you can get them here. That's all it takes, buddy. Just a little money. Softball's doing okay, too. Now, they lost two of their first three at Ole Miss, but they put 20 runs on them.
I think they're ranked like 10th, or they were. I don't know about now. But
no, but they put 20 runs on Ole Miss in the last game. So, they're doing pretty good. So, moving on to let's go to the bottom and then move up, if you don't mind.
No, I think it's a good idea.
LeBron's hurt. Lakers' chances, don't care.
Well, real quick on the NBA, what about that trade that sent Luka to the Lakers? I mean, how well has that panned out for the Mavericks? I mean, AD got hurt. Now they've lost Kyrie. I mean.
But, you know, there's still people on ESPN that know a lot more about the NBA than I do, because I don't care either, that say when the Mavericks get healthy, this is going to come together for them.
AD will never be healthy. He hadn't been healthy his entire pro career. Well, he hadn't.
I understand.
I mean, you put him with LeBron, and they still didn't win a championship.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, here's the deal is, you know,
well, I think
Luka was 25 years old.
If LeBron can instigate another two or three trades to get three or four more Hall of Famers on his team, he may be able to win another NBA championship.
What's he hurt? I mean, I didn't know he was hurt. I hadn't seen anything.
He pulled his groin, I think.
He is. Yep. Yeah. I've heard he could be out for weeks.
Yeah.
I didn't know if maybe it was that phantom elbow the other day or.
You know, it is. It is AD's birthday.
Today?
I think he's 36. Yeah. You know,
happy birthday, AD.
Happy birthday, in case you're listening.
Yeah. The Mavericks trade a 25-year-old that scores, you know, at will for a guy that's 36 years old that's hurt.
Yeah.
At will.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's crazy. Did you see the other day, Luka had 32 points and something like 13 assists. LeBron had 35 points and 12 or 13 rebounds. I mean, when you got two guys doing that, I mean, that's just a win right there.
Yeah.
Just about. I mean, I'd let him eat his way out and just put that in his contract, right?
Put some kind of you get docked this much pay if you weigh this.
They've done that before.
Yeah.
In different leagues.
Yeah.
I don't know why you can't do that instead of, I mean, I don't know. I just, and you may be right. They may win the championship this year with AD being there. We'll see what happens. Moving on, though, Big 12 moves 10 regular season games to Friday night.
That just irks me.
Yeah, me too.
And I realize that, well, Marshall was in the MAC for a while, and they play on Tuesday night and Thursday night because that's the only time they can get on TV.
Mm-hmm.
But playing on Tuesday and Thursday is a lot different to me than playing on Friday nights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's for high school football. I won't be watching the Big 12 on Friday night. I'll tell you that now. I'll be watching the Leopards on Friday night.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of indicates – I think it's a nod to the SEC and the Big Ten because these Big 12 teams are desperate to get on TV,
mm-hmm.
and they're running out of space on Saturday because every SEC game is going to be on TV, every Big Ten game is going to be on TV, I think you're going to see more and more of this from the ACC, the Big 12, and the Group of Five.
Well, they're just going to play whenever they can play and get some. Get to be seen.
That's right.
You can't move up in those standings if you're not seen, which is why there's not a Pac-12 anymore.
Right.
You know what I like about the Big 12? Nothing.
Me and you, we have that in common.
The Big 12, and there's eight teams in it, right?
The Big 12, I've only got like 18 teams now. 17 of them my second favorite team.
Yeah. When they play West Virginia.
Every time they play West Virginia, they're my second favorite.
Yeah. So, moving on, and what we really want to get to is the NFL. You know, we got a couple of things here, you know, Raiders.
Well, this was early.
Yeah.
This was Sunday afternoon. These are some of the big things that had happened in NFL free agency. A lot's happened since I made these notes. I would note that Myles Garrett saying, I want to win. I want to win. I want out of Cleveland. Oh, you want to give me $124 million? I'll stay here and win three games. So, you know,
Cleveland Browns.
Oh, that he's not loyal. He's loyal to the my almighty dollars, what he's loyal to.
As is everybody to a certain extent.
Well, I understand that.
Very few
but
times
don't,
do
but
you
don't
see
complain about Browns management and the way they've run the team for the last 10 years, and I want out of here so I can win, and then do this.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, if they're not giving you money, they're not managing very well. I mean,
they have hamstrung themselves to the point where, I mean, I know they reworked he hadn't played in so long, I can't remember his name, Watson.
Deshaun
Watson, his contract to where he's only counting $36 million against the salary cap now.
I'm not sure he'll ever play again.
I'm not either.
But they
just seem to make dumb decision after dumb decision.
Well, I mean, lots of stuff going on. We'll talk about something pretty simple first. Josh Allen got a new contract.
Yep.
I mean, his contract wasn't even up.
No.
But they went ahead and signed him to some additional money.
I'll tell you something that's going to make you happy. He's still making less money than Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I know.
That's crazy,
yep.
man.
Yep. Yep. It is crazy. Hey, I told you I'm done.
We'll see about that come September.
Yeah, I know, but you know, the thing about it is, I mean, what gets me is, you know, you know, for example, we talked about this earlier off the air, but you know, the Steelers get DK Metcalf, one of the best wide receivers in
probably
the game.
Probably top 10.
Yeah, top 10 wide receiver in the game. Sam Darnold, who was with Justin Jefferson at Minnesota and had a 14-3 record, regular season record, 14-3, goes to Seattle, but they take his weapons away.
Well, they release Lockett and trade Metcalf, so I don't know who's going to be throwing the ball to.
Did they do that before Darnold went?
Yes.
Well, that's on him then.
Come on. I'm not sure I don't know which one happened first. You do know that? Okay.
Yeah.
So Metcalf was gone before Darnold went. Well, he must know something.
Well,
you know, he may know who knows what.
Maybe he knows they're going to draft Armstrong from Arkansas.
Maybe.
Or maybe he knows that the Steelers are going to trade him up. Pickens.
Pickens.
Yeah.
Well, they should have done that when they just trade him then.
Well, the Steelers robbed him, I thought.
I do too.
Yeah.
I mean, I do too, and that's one of the things about it. I mean, they've done really good.
Well, but
trades.
The GM has done a great job for them, except, and I put this on Twitter last night, the Steelers clearly do not recognize what QB1 means in the NFL anymore. They don't have a clue, and it's been that way. I mean, since Ben Roethlisberger retired, and they should have been thinking about 2 years before Roethlisberger retired. What are we going to do after Ben? Clearly they weren't, and clearly they still don't have a plan at quarterback. And the thing is, I think the Steelers have enough talent on defense and on offense that with a quarterback, you know, and they wouldn't have to have Allen, or they wouldn't have to have Daniels, but just, you know, an above average quarterback that they could make a lot of noise.
Talking about QB1, Tom Brady as part owner of the Raiders got the guy he was after.
Yeah, Geno Smith. They paid a third round pick for Geno, and Geno's 35 years old. I'm not sure that's a great trade.
Me either.
But the Steelers are clearly going to end up probably today. They're saying it with either Russell Wilson back on a 2 or 3 year deal, which to me is a disaster. I mean, you don't want Russell Wilson when he's 39 or 40 years old. Aaron Rodgers on a 1 year deal and overpaying him, or somebody like Daniel Jones, who you know, you probably get on the cheap, and there's a reason you get him on the cheap. And then there's one thing out there that the 49ers are just going to start all over and blow it all up, and they could end up with Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
I like that option best, but there's not any great options out there for the Steelers right now at the quarterback.
Well, I'm not sure. You know, when you go, you know, first of all, they should have signed Justin Fields.
Absolutely.
But especially with the line they have, because all these other quarterbacks you're talking about cannot play behind the Steelers' line and perform well.
No.
Russell Wilson already proved that.
Yeah, his middle name is Sack.
Yeah. you don't think that's going to happen to these other guys?
Well, levels Aaron Rodgers. I showed Tuttle a picture of Aaron Rodgers when he got drilled as a Packer, and his face mask is up here and his chin straps over his nose. And that's the way it's going to be when he quarterback for the Steelers. That's
Packers have nothing to do with this, and you're rubbing it in, Jerry.
Yeah, but you know, and then the thing about it is, the reason why Brock Purdy's even being talked about is because their line had some injuries and he couldn't perform with a lesser of a line. Right?
Yeah.
And so you put him there, he's going to have the same issues. They need somebody that's got the what I call escapability.
Somebody that can run for their
life. None of the quarterbacks that you've talked about have that.
No. Daniel Jones is probably the most apt to do that.
Yeah, but he starts running before the ball's ever snapped. because he's scared.
and I would think of the quarterbacks left, he's the one that would probably benefit the most from good coaching. You think of Sam Darnold, he didn't get coached at the Jets. I'm afraid that's going to happen to Justin Field at the Jets now. But, you know, I think upside of those four guys that we're talking about, and there's not a huge amount of upside in any of them, I think there's more in Sam Darnold.
Yeah, but he's not. He's gone. You're talking about Brock Purdy, right?
Is that what you mean? Sam Darnold could still – not Darnold, I'm sorry.
Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he could still quarterback the Steelers.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I got you.
But if you sign Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, you better have a pretty – you might ought to sign two of these guys. You might ought to sign Aaron Rodgers and Daniel Jones because Aaron Rodgers is going to be laid out Accurshire Stadium It's not Heinz Field anymore.
What about Duck Hodges? Where's he at?
He's dating that pretty country.
Laney Wilson. Yeah, he's riding with her.
Yeah, he don't have to worry about taking a hit.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. but you know the last thing I mean, unless y'all got something else, the last thing I want to talk about as far as NFL goes, Dre Greenlaw, great Razorback linebacker. Did really well for San Francisco, but you know had the unfortunate jumped up against it running out in the Super Bowl and ruptured his Achilles.
I would be interested to see what EO thinks about this, and I know he listens to the podcast. He's a big 49ers fan, and it just seems like they're the Pittsburgh Pirates of the NFL. They're just unloading everybody.
Yeah. And he went to the Denver Broncos, which...
Greenlaw came back and played a couple of games at the end of the season.
He did.
As a matter of fact, you know, the one linebacker refused to go in the game. I don't know if y'all remember that.
I do remember that.
After Greenlaw came back, because he was upset, he ended up getting kicked off the team.
Yep.
But I couldn't think of the name earlier, but it's Warner, right? Fred Warner, isn't that the other linebacker? I'd seen like a few weeks ago, they said they probably
number 54. Right?
They probably wouldn't be able to pay them both, and they thought because of the injury, Greenlaw would be the one that they let go. And like you say, he went to the Broncos. And I mean, if he can get healthy, he's a Pro Bowler year in and year out.
Yeah, I think so too. He's done a really good job. So look forward to seeing what he does with the Broncos. Anybody got anything else?
No, I think we've pretty well covered it.
All right. Well, if that's it, we appreciate everybody listening, as we always do. Thank you to the coaches and to all the play-by-play guys for all the information each week. Thank you to all you that listen. Thank you to our sponsors. And most of all, thank you to the kids. You're the ones we do it for. We'll see you next week.
Beat PA. Go Leopards.
See you next week.